The following podcast is an Enticing Media production. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You are now socially obligated to pour yourself a drink, and welcome to The Drunk Squirrel.
Oh, it wasn't me this time, see?
All right, just so you guys know, I started recording. So
yeah, I know I got the little pop up window.
Okay, we're gonna roll into this. Don't worry, anything can be edited out later. but that's how we do this podcast, Pete. We just roll into a conversation, and wherever it goes, it goes.
See, you got more notification on when the conversation started than I normally get.
Well, that's just because he's half a country away. I figured it was at least courtesy.
Not half a country. Just take 95 and go straight. You can't even get lost.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
I've done that drive.
So what is it? 95 right. to 85?
95 to 10.
Okay. So 95 runs all the way to 10.
Yeah. Go to Tallahassee, make a right.
Okay.
I mean, the only reason to get off of 95 is food.
Yeah. True. True. So how was the Cuban coffee and food?
It's wonderful, man. He's only been here 3 weeks, had the coffee truck for 3 weeks. He's still learning as he goes. The man has taken two trips to Miami to go get materials and supplies. It's a 10-hour ride, man.
Yeah.
Learn how to make your own croquetas and all that kind of stuff. It's cost efficient. It doesn't pay off for him to do that.
Well, I mean, I guess I would think he probably will figure that out at some point.
Well, he started to figure it out now. He just got yesterday or something, they installed a POS system in this thing with Google and all that other stuff. He's got a great spot. He's behind a church. He's the co-pastor, like I told you earlier. He's the co-pastor of the church. So I'm thinking that him having a coffee truck, that doesn't cost him anything.
Yeah.
So
and they probably on the grounds for free.
He's got a nice little setup there. Today I was making a joke of him because he didn't want to charge me because I started pumping his place on Thursday during my salsa show, because I don't want him to leave. He's the only Cuban place in Pensacola. So I got there and it was raining this morning. His floors were all wet. And I'm like, and he didn't want to take my money. And I just told him flat out, I go, listen, take my money. Then when you take it, go to Home Depot, get yourself one of the little floor things that say caution wet floors so people don't fall on it and sue you. And then you got to leave. I need you here. And the poor guy actually went in the back and he wrote a sign and he posted it on the thing, caution wet floor. But, he's a nice man. He's from my neck of the woods in Jersey. So we kind of grew up five blocks away from each other. He knows my mom. It's a small world.
That's a really small world. Well, Pete, you have a live mic here. Why don't you tell, pump him. Tell everybody who he is and where they can find him.
Oh, Pipo? His name is Obed Ramos. They can find him at Pipo's Imimas. M-I-M-A.
Okay.
And it's a Cuban cuisine coffee truck. They're located at 1302 North Pace Boulevard in Pensacola.
Awesome.
5 minutes away from the studio. Thank God.
You could walk there almost.
No, I don't know. That's pushing a little bit. I'm too damn lazy. I'm 60 years old. I don't want to walk anywhere. We were bowling last night to a person who's on a handicap. He's got a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And you have the little ramps. I was looking at his ramp. I was jealous. I'm like, shit, I could use that. I don't got to walk. I ain't walking nowhere.
Oh, man. Wow. This is good stuff.
All right. So, Pete, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing down there. Like, what's this whole radio thing?
I've been involved in music my entire life. Kenny knows the story. My mom was a piano teacher. I grew up with six pianos in my house. She at her peak, my mom had 168 kids. She was ranked, I think, number three in the country with the National Guild of Piano Teachers. My mom was a pretty big deal, but I grew up with six pianos in my house. So music has always been around.
Yeah.
I started getting into the music that I enjoy more now when I was 16 years old and my buddies and I went to New York City. I didn't know I was going to New York City. Peer pressure sucks. And when I went
or it's good.
When I realized that we were in the Lincoln Tunnel, I started asking questions, where are we going? And they wouldn't tell me where we're going. He goes, we're just going to the city. We're going to go dance. We're going to go to a club. Okay. I was dying. I was scared. You know, my parents didn't know I had left, let alone that I'm going to another state. And I was really worried about where I was going. And we went into some parking garage, which was even creepier. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to see people that I'd never in my life witnessed. Now, you know, it's different growing up. I've seen them all over the place. But at that time, it was the first time I've seen bums out in the street. I've seen people smoking pot and all that kind of stuff. And we ended up going to the Paradise Garage, and I didn't know it. The music was amazing. The DJ there was Larry Levan. I did not know who he was. I didn't realize who he was until like months later when somebody told me, hey, that's the guy when we went to the garage. That's the guy who's playing on the radio now. I'm like, oh, shit. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the music. I played all three sports in high school, but I always had this nightclub in my head, you know, and I had a great time going to all the little teen discos. At that time, they had teen discos. If either one of you guys ever seen Rapper's Delight's Sugar Hill Gang,
oh, yeah.
Okay. The video, well, that was filmed in a place called the Soap Factory in Palisades Park, New Jersey. I used to go to that club when it was a teen disco on Sunday afternoons.
Wow.
And then I started, I started going to nightclubs regularly, and then I became a manager of one. And the DJ at the time was a guy named Jimmy Maxwell, who has ended up being my mentor along with Danny Pucciarelli. They put my hands on turntables, and I love doing what I do. I love the music part, but as I got older and you get married, so on and so forth, you know, you tend to, I don't know, turn another leaf.
Get out of the club scene.
Yeah, you gotta get out of the club scene. It's not feasible. It's frowned upon when you're married. And but I always hung around it. I always listened to the music. I still wanted to listen to music. Then right about a year before the pandemic, I was just fooling around with this new systems that they had, because I learned everything on vinyl, the old school way, carrying the crates of records. And then when they said you can do this all electronically, I'm like, what? He goes, you can do it digitally. How? And they explained it to me, and I started studying. I'm like, this is like cheating. This is too easy.
So you're talking about as opposed to actual like turntables and vinyl?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, at my age now, hell, I ain't carrying no turntables. I definitely ain't carrying no crates of records no more. Hell no. So I started dabbling in that. I saw that I can still collect all the music that I had. Mm-hmm. And I found it to be wow. I threw away thousands and thousands of records that I would never be able to pay for now. I was able to find them online digitally. Like, that's awesome. And my library kept building. And one day I was just fooling around and I wanted to make some little set. I made a set, and somehow or another it made it to London. And I got a phone call from a British guy in house music radio, wanted to ask me if I wanted to do a show for him. So I did radios for them. And then I went to another station. That's where I met Debs. Debs was here in Pensacola. I was in South Florida. And, you know, the Brits aren't the smartest people in the world, as we know. they figured two people from Florida, you know, let them talk to each other. I didn't even know what Pensacola was. Had no idea.
So you were in Miami at the time.
I was in Miami at the time. Didn't know what Pensacola was. She started hearing my show. I started hearing her show. We started talking. And then the idea came up to do a radio station, because a lot of the, not a lot, all the online DJs in the world, when they do their shows on online radio, nobody gets paid. Mm-hmm. Instead, you got to pay them. You have to pay them what they call a sub. And we just found it so difficult. How can people not get paid to do this? And you don't know Deborah. Well, Kenny knows, but you don't know Deborah the way I know Deborah. Once that little seed got in her head, it's here we come. And I brought up the idea of fooling around to her. I go, how would you like to open up a radio station? I heard nothing. She goes, how? So we started talking about it. And then I told her I had a couple of names for the station. And I fell in love with Sandcastle Radio because I wanted to be based in Florida, not knowing where I was going to be now. But 2 days later, I get a phone call. She goes, we have an LLC. For what? She goes, for Sandcastle Radio. You're shitting me. She goes, yeah, we have an LLC. And she sent me all the information. And that's when it really hit me. I'm like, oh, my God. She's for real.
I guess we're doing a radio station.
I guess we're doing a radio station. That was her words, because I said, I got the email from her and I got all the stuff. And I go, what is this that you just sent me? She goes, we're an LLC. I'm like, what are you telling me? And it was silence. And she goes, we got a radio station. I go, holy shit. And that's when everything started. It started, everything started adding up and we started working. We never met. Me and Deborah never met. We did this for like 4 or 5 months through Zoom and FaceTimes and we never met. So she tells me one day she was coming down to South Florida. Her friend of hers was going to come with her, was going to come down here. She wanted to see if she could come. I'm like, sure. So we met in Boca Raton. First time we saw each other, we looked like brothers and sisters, looked like little kids. We were just hugging each other. And I couldn't believe that this was the person who I'm going to do this now with. Yeah. I left everything behind. The biggest thing is that she believed in me. And that weighed a lot. That meant a lot to me. Because I had people who did not support me down south. I was a nuisance. Oh, what time are you doing your show? What time are you going to play till? Yada, 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 yada. And it was frustrating. I'm 59 years old and I still got to answer questions.
Yeah.
So when this came about, I was still not being supported at all. When we came close, we decided to open up this Thanksgiving night of 2022. And we were getting really close to that date. And I started getting really nervous that this was going to be hard for me to do, me being 10 hours apart from her. Mm-hmm. So I used to kid around with her all the time. Said, you know, how's that little cow town of yours? And she got pissed off. Is that a cow town? Sure it is. Well, when I decided, that's it, I'm leaving. The last straw was drawn in South Florida. I'm not going to fight this no more. I'm out of here. I'm about to be 6 years old. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm tired of help, of doing stuff to make other people happy, and I'm still miserable. Yeah. I can't do that no more. I can't. So I called her up, and I said, so how's that little cow town of ours doing? And she didn't catch it for like 10, 15 seconds. She goes, hour? You said hour? I go, yeah. I go, you don't really think we're going to open up the station in less than 2 weeks and you're going to be there and I'm going to be here. Either you're moving halfway down or I'm moving to Pensacola. She goes, you'll come here? I go, absolutely. How do I get there? Because I had just sold my work truck that I had. I was a handyman for 30 years. So I had 358,000 miles on a truck. It was about to go anyway. So I got rid of it for a couple of $100. It was paperweight. I said, so how do I get there? She goes, I don't know. I go, does Greyhound still run? I didn't know that Greyhound still run. She goes, yeah, it still runs. I packed up all my equipment, everything that I had, clothes. I still got it. Kenny, you've been to the studio. You see, remember that gray bin when you first walk into the back door? That gray bin is from South Florida. It still has the bus ticket number on it.
I noticed when we were down there for Rind, which we will get into a little bit. I noticed that bin had a bunch of like your name on it and like your address and that phone number came, and things like that.
That bin came on Greyhound bus with me.
That's cool.
And I got here 2 days before our opening. I didn't know where I was. I don't remember how. I remember getting here in a cab, in a Lyft or Uber late at night. Deb was standing by the door. It was in an Airbnb. And we hugged each other with kisses. And I just told her, I go, I'm exhausted. I've been on a bus for 24 hours. I just want to go to sleep. So I remember grabbing everything out of the Uber, throwing it on the floor inside. I didn't even really look at what this Airbnb looked like. I didn't care. All I saw was a bed. I fell asleep and I woke up the next morning and for 10 seconds, I had no idea where I was. None. All I saw was shit on the floor. And then it hit me. I go, I'm in Pensacola. But then the other thing that I felt, that pressure that I had on me in South Florida was gone. I haven't felt that pressure ever since.
That's great.
And I remember walking outside and I saw a cemetery. And I said to myself, either I'm in Cleveland or I died. But there's a cemetery outside. And everybody's walking past. It's like 6:30 in the morning. It's still dark out. And people walking past with their dogs. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Good morning. And I'm like, I call her up. I go, why is everybody so fucking nice to me? She goes, where are you? I go, I don't know. You dropped me off in front of a cemetery. She goes, don't go nowhere. And she got here. And I fell in love with Pensacola, man. It's growing up in New York, New Jersey, and being in Miami for 30 years, that city life, it's always been in my system. But now at the age I'm at, I just want to relax. Yeah. It's very quiet here. There's not much to do. The nightlife here definitely needs an intervention. Me and Kenny can attest to that. I can attest to that. But it's where we planted the seeds for this radio station. And thanks to Kenny and Nell, who were part of that first crew on Thanksgiving night, 2022.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
We've grown. Deborah's hard work is hard to explain, man. It really is. Everything that she does, probably what Nell does with you, with you guys over there, I would not even be here if it wasn't for her. I can't do three quarters of the stuff that she does. I can't. I wouldn't even know where to start.
I think one thing we can all say collectively is we have some amazing women in our lives.
Oh, I there's
that are way better
no
than
doubt.
we are.
There's no doubt. And she backs me up in everything I want to do. I back her up. I kid around with everybody. And Kenny will tell you this. She's the motorcycle. I'm the sidecar. Wherever you tell me to go, we're going. I'll back her up if it's right or wrong. I still got her back, like she's got my back. The only bad decision she's made has been some stupid keychains she came up with that I still get at her about. I go, yeah, don't make keychain decisions no more.
I've never seen these keychains,
oh,
by the
they're
way.
horrible. They're horrible. And she knows it now. And she knows it. But she's a workaholic, man. She really, really, really is. And she strives for she inspires me to do what I do. Yeah, I got to make sure that everybody's on the air, but all the social media stuff, all the stuff you see behind the scenes, all the sponsors that she got for Rind, it's mind-boggling what she does. And when we went, before we got to Rind, we went to one of the restaurants where Kenny did her show at, that Five Sisters. We went there to go eat when I first got here. It was a nice place, but I like to smoke my cigarettes, so I walked outside. And I started walking that little four corner block there. And there was a building that I had all the history of Pensacola rhythm and blues music. And it's posted. So I kept reading that there used to be where Five Sisters is, used to be a record shop. Across the street was a radio station. So, and then they have these, I guess, what do you call them on the corners? Those placards or those historical signs?
Oh,
Where they tell you the history of what happened there.
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I was like, wow, there's a lot, there's rich history. And I'm a big history buff. I was like, wow, there's a lot of history here. And Deborah just goes, he goes, well, why don't we have an event here? Like, what do you mean have an event here? She goes, we can have a festival here. I'm like, where? But I can see the gerbil inside her head just started speeding up. And then we went to a Kenny went the first night that they were here for Rind. University of West Florida has this thing called Radio Live, where they do one Thursday, first Thursday of every month, they transmit their shows live on the air. And she asked me, she goes, why don't we get in partnership with West Florida? See if we can do something. I'm like, partnership? How can we be partnership with a NPR radio station? Little did I know. She had a plan. And she stuck to that plan. And the more I kept going along for the ride, the more I can understand what she was going at. Just like Patreon. I never knew Patreon. I never even heard of Patreon. To me, it was okay, whatever. It makes you happy. Patreon is carrying us. And everything, all this is all Deborah. I just go along for the ride. Tell me where I got to set up equipment. Tell me how many wires I got to do. Make the sound checks, make everything work, and let's go.
Way too many wires. That's how many wires. Way too many wires.
I was just talking to somebody, the people right here with the wine store about the last day of Rind. Listen, I'm anal. Kenny knows that as far as my equipment and where everything's got to go. Because when I go back to it, I want to see it in the same spot. That Sunday after they finished their show at Five Sisters, I still had my equipment at the Bunny Club across the street from the night before. But I was so tired already. I was like, okay, during your show, Deborah actually told me, he goes, they don't want you to start unpacking stuff here until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I whispered in her ear, I go, fuck that. I'm tired. I'm going home now. And I started taking, that's why we kept going out to the side door, just get out. And I still had to go to the Bunny Club. And everybody kept asking me, Pete will help you. Pete will help you. What can we do to help? That I just gave up. I said, listen, just everything that says us on it, that's it's ours, just take it and throw it in the truck. I don't care. Just let's get out of here. 45 minutes later, I'm in the truck driving back. I woke up the next morning and all those milk crates that you guys filled up, I had them all lined up on the floor here. And I'm like, oh my God, what did they do? For like a half a second, I hated all of you guys. And Deborah sees, she goes, they helped you. I go, I know, I know. It took me about 3 hours to clear out all those crates.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, I was there. I know what they look like.
The team that we've assembled here, and it's only going to get bigger. I couldn't be happier. It's one of the most tightly knit families, because I got no more family here. My family is Deborah Bassett, and I have brothers and sisters now with Kenny and Nell. I can't believe I'm going to say Hans and everyone else across, you know, where we have, because the people we have are wonderful, and they've been very supportive. They're team players. Yeah, you know, someone we got to bring it to attention. It's not just about you; it's about everybody. But it's worked out to be. I've had a blast, man. I'd rather do this than start ripping up toilets and running wires and ceilings and all that stuff the way I used to do. I don't want to do that no more, man. I'm very happy with what I do.
All right, so you've got a bunch of different people in places doing your shows.
Yep.
Where all do you have hosts and DJs? I mean, you guys have international.
We have Canada, Netherlands, England, Chicago, PA, Minnesota, right? Is that where – no, Kelly's from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Kelly's from Pennsylvania. I'm trying my hardest to –
Hillary's in Minnesota.
Hillary's in Minnesota. I'm trying my hardest to find somebody west of the Mississippi. I have not been able to find anybody in the West Coast yet. But as far as West Coast goes, it's Peter Bedard, who's up in Calgary. He's on Saturday nights. But we have them pretty much spread around. We have a poet in England. He was here for Ryan. We have a DJ in England. We have Hans is from the Netherlands. Peter Bedard's from Canada. Kenny and Nell from PA. Kelly's from PA. Zach is from Chicago. We have some here in Pensacola, and we're just growing. We're going to have a comedy show coming out of the UK also now. We're going to have a jazz show she put it off until April because she's moving back to Canada. She was here in Pensacola. And we're just going to keep growing, man. That's the fun part about it. When we decided to do the station, Deborah's biggest question to me was, what kind of target audience do we want? I go, everybody. I don't want a radio station that just plays music 24/7. I've been part of that. I want a variety of everything. And the first people she mentioned was Tattoo over here. he calls him Tattoo because he's talking to me and he sees an airplane flight over and he stops. Everything's got to stop to look at airplanes. I call him Tattoo.
I'm a big fan of airplanes.
It started off with them. I never knew them until Deborah says, listen, because I had heard her show with Nell on the other station. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, fine. Let's do it. And from them, it's grown and grown and grown. Now, our latest is Kelly Johnson, who's going to be an awesome addition to us.
Yeah, so my wife and I, we started listening that Thanksgiving night to Kenny and Nell. We were at my parents' house for Thanksgiving.
You're the one that they set up on the floor. It looked like a picnic,
nope,
you were telling.
Oh, no. We were at John and Aaron's house. They were listening.
Yeah, okay. We were elsewhere. So, but no, we were listening to the show. We had our headphones split between us and Thanksgiving preparations going on, and I mean that was pretty neat to listen in to hear the launch of that, to hear kind of what you guys were envisioning and planting and growing. Now I'm going to ask this because we haven't covered it directly, but if anyone out there is listening to Kenny and I, all 10 people of us and my mother, where can they listen in for Sandcastle Radio?
We're everywhere. You can go. You can catch us online. You can catch our free apps on Google and Android or whatever devices, Apple devices. We're easy to find. We're Alexa. Very easy to find.
Yeah. Alexa, you can just ask Alexa to launch the, I think the first time you do it, you have to tell her to launch the skill.
Right.
Yeah. But after that, then you can just tell her to play.
Well, and we actually upgraded all the Alexas in our house because I was like, I'm tired of listening to Kenny and Nell on this little dinky.
They got a great show, man. Now the addition of Kenny's Flip Flops and Beer, who's actually surprisingly has caught the attention of here because what he plays is basically played here in the Gulf Coast. And to Kenny's credit, Kenny's reached out to all these people and they've sent him music. They've become friends and they've done promos for him. Kenny's show hasn't been rarely airing, only a couple of months. And everybody knows about Kenny's show down here in the Gulf Coast.
I have to laugh. I had a conversation with Nell this was a couple months back. I was like, I've never been able to figure out kind of Kenny and how he fits. He's a redneck, but not quite.
Oh, come on, man. He plays rap music. And me and Deborah look at him and goes, what the hell is that?
I know.
He's a white boy.
I finally figured it out, though. He's a beach bum redneck.
Yes, he is. Yes, he.
Especially
he's the kind
I've
of
been listening to Parrot Radio with him and all of that. It's yeah, no, he's.
I compare Kenny to like a can on the beach. You just keep kicking along, but it doesn't go away. And then you have to pick it up, and then you pick it up, and he goes, "Oh shit, it's Kenny."
I'm probably not going away at this point.
I was gonna
no,
say, you're
he's
trying
not.
To get rid
but
of him for a while now.
One of the shows, and I know I mentioned this. Nell and the Kenny and Nell on the road. I mean, the only reason I say that you got to say Kenny and Nell because alphabetically it's right, but yeah. It's basically should be the Nell and Kenny show.
Yeah.
Because she's awesome at what she does. But when one day I was hearing him, I don't know where I was going. I was going towards Gulf Breeze or something. I was in the car by myself and I got to hear the flip flops. And I kept saying is he's got a great voice, man. His timing is great. Everything he does is flawless. And I got to admit, I'm just a buffoon. And
that's not true, but
I was proud. I was proud that we have a station like that. And today, for some reason, even having my Cuban coffee, and I know there was nothing in it, it was just Cuban coffee. I was actually listening to Hans. I'm like, wow, he's flawless.
Yeah.
You know, he's flawless. And we're very, very, very proud of that. We're proud of the people we have, show so much professionalism that it makes us look really good. And I couldn't be happier. But I was really happy with Kenny that day. I was like, man, it never really hit me how good he really is. Because I always hear him just banter with Ken, you know, with Nell and stuff. But we gave him a stage by himself, and he sounds terrific. And I'm not just saying that because of his podcast. You sound awesome. And I was very proud that you have your own show.
You know, it's funny, when he and I started the podcast here, he was like, yeah, I'd love to do this more. And in that time frame, I mean, he's gone from just the podcast to consistent contributor across multiple things. And yeah, he's got a voice for this.
They're both awesome, man. They really are. And on the way they prepare, like Deborah and I do weekend chit chats, we prepared the first show for 15 minutes and then threw the script away. We haven't written a script since. And everybody's just fun to watch. I mean, to listen to. I don't listen to as much as I want to because there's other things that I got to do.
You can't listen to every single show. I mean, it's
impossible.
Deborah does.
Deborah listens to every damn show. I don't know how she does it. I just can't, but she does. And she'll call me immediately when something is wrong. But for some reason, I'm always on the air. I'm always listening when something goes wrong.
Yeah,
I'm always there.
Wine over here.
Hold on. I'm refilling my wine, Pete.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you drinking anything with us? Just Pepsi?
Pepsi. You know that. Come on.
Oh, I'm refilling.
I still got beers. I still got beers in this refrigerator. I want you guys to take them out of here.
Wait. Hold on. Time out. I thought you said that Dean drank you out of beer.
He did. There's still more underneath the table.
Oh.
I got to get rid of them. I'm not going to drink them. Those days are over. I'm still drunk from 1985. nice cup.
Oh, I know, right?
Nice cup. Does he know that we have Captain Morgan still on the shelf here?
Well, if Kenny knew, he'd be there already.
No,
well,
it's his bottle.
I've
been there. I've been to the studio now twice with it there, and it's not gone, which is amazing.
It's still there. It's next to my bottle of vodka, and I'm only going to drink it when Kenny's here.
Yeah, we only drink. He doesn't touch that bottle of vodka unless I'm there.
Nope.
Okay. So,
then it's a mad rush to the supermarket to get orange juice and ice. That's what I had to do the last time.
Yes, being with Kenny requires a little bit of drinking.
He does. He does.
Yeah, I do. I like it.
And I'm proud of you guys. I mean, I remember when you guys started. I started seeing all the posts about the drunken squirrel. And I haven't kept up as much as I wanted to, as I can. And I hope you guys do well and keep doing this stuff. And it's fun. And unfortunately, I got to listen to this one. Gotta listen to my stupid crap.
Well, you're definitely going to have to listen to this one.
Yeah,
so,
I do.
So I know a lot about you, Pete, but I'm gonna let Rob go a little bit here because he doesn't know near as much about you as I do. So I want to see if he has any questions.
He's the smart one. How the fuck do you want to know about this?
No, I've just been listening. I mean, it's an interesting thing how you got to where you're at. and what the radio station is at the moment. But I mean, you had a lot of journey with music, and we're kind of talking some of the music stuff with the podcast for a bit. And I mean, what is your styling? What is like
I'm a
you
disco
were a
diva.
DJ.
I'm a disco diva, man. I've always loved the music. Yes, I grew up with this old rock and roll. I tell everybody the story. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, me and my dad used to go to a pizzeria in my hometown, and he would give me 65 cents. No, I'm sorry. He would give me a quarter, 65 cents for the two slices and a soda. Give me a quarter to go to
Oh, wow,
the
I wish.
jukebox. Yeah. He would give me a quarter to go to the jukebox and play three songs, and I always played the same three songs. It was Bachman Turner Overdrive, Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died, and Don McLean's American Pie.
Oh, that's a great tune.
So I grew up with that kind of music until I got older and the music scene changed in my hometown. Everything was disco and dancing and go out and buy some clothes. And I grew into that. And then when house music came along is when I went to the garage and I heard this sound that I'd never heard before. Lights and the feeling I got in my stomach. And it was just amazing, and it's just grown ever since. So I've been doing house music since it was born. I started DJing house music in 1984, where my roommate was a DJ at the nightclub. He asked me if I wanted to do a 30 minutes cassette mix for a radio station that he was working for that
Cassette.
wanted. WBLS in New York that they wanted DJs for the summer to do house party, block parties and stuff like that. So I did a tribute to Janet Jackson. I got a letter in the mail about a month later that I was one of 50 finalists to go to the Apollo Theater.
Oh, wow.
Mind you, me and Jimmy were the only white guys there, but they were picking seven DJs. Basically, they're really picking five. One was Jimmy, he was already set there, and another one called Red Alert. So they're picking five, and the first cassette they played was mine. So I started doing block parties for WBLS with the t-shirts and the hats and the visors and all that kind of stuff. And at the end of the summer, I was going back to the studio. I gave them back those stuff, and they asked me, he goes, Pete, I want you to meet somebody. I'm like, okay. And he goes, why you wait? Have you ever been inside one of these? And they opened up a studio, and I did what every 22-year-old does. I lied. I said, yeah, bullshit. I've never been inside one. So they locked me in there for a couple of minutes. I was looking around. I was scared to touch anything. And then I started playing with the turntables. And a gentleman walked in named Bob Lee. He was the one who asked me to hold on and wait for somebody. Then I met a guy named Frankie Crocker, which I think everybody in this music business knew who he was. He was the director of WBLS. And then another man came in named Vaughn Harper, who was probably the ugliest man I've ever seen in my life. But once he opened his mouth, I knew exactly who he was. He did a show called The Quiet Storm. That's where the idea for After Dark comes in. That smooth, sultry music at night, the Barry Whites, the Marvin Gayes, and he was the voice of it. And I started engineering for him for a year. All I did was play records and answer the phones and order pizza. And stare at a glass that he was on the other side of, and I was just like, every time he opened his mouth, it was like puppy love. It's like I never heard a voice that nice before. But that's how I got into this, and music has been around in my life since then, constantly, 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 constantly. And now I'm having a blast. I'm ready for tonight, just so you know. I do prepare for that show.
You have so your house party's ready to go.
Yeah, I usually don't. I do, but I don't. But I got over 5,000 songs. If I can't even name you 10 songs, I just forget what I have. So
I don't have near as many songs as you do, and
I
I
write
still I
stuff down.
forget
You
what I
guys
have.
don't realize. I don't know if you've ever realized when you come into the studio, there's a pad, a notebook with songs written on it. Those are the songs that I've played that I don't throw away that pad because I forget. I can't go through all the songs I got. I don't know what I'm looking for. But that's how it started, and it's always been in my, and I'm glad that I get to be 6 years old and I'm still doing the music I'd done when I was 1984. And it hasn't gone nowhere. It really hasn't. It has not disappeared. It's still at the forefront.
Peter last night, DJ
Did a
Peter,
disco thing.
yeah, he did a disco 2-hour disco show last night, like a disco tribute show from Calgary, and it was a really good show.
Every song he played, I remember, made me feel so damn old. I knew every song he played. I think on one he played Eartha Kitt, and I typed Eartha Kitt. People don't remember Eartha Kitt was the original Catwoman. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the original, the Adam West Batmans. When we were kids growing up in the 60s or 70s, the black and whites, the Batman sitcoms. You don't remember that?
Yeah.
Adam West was the original Batman. The original Catwoman was Eartha Kitt before Julie Newmar. We grew up with Julie Newmar. We grew up with Julie Newmar.
Yes.
Which I thought was fine as hell. But we grew up with Julie Newmar. But before her, it was Eartha Kitt. So he played an Eartha Kitt song. I'm like, oh, that's when I was really, it hit me. I'm like, fuck, I remember Eartha Kitt. But yeah, he had a really good show last night. He's really good. We're very lucky to have him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good show last night. We listened. We were, we sort of half-assed celebrated Valentine's Day last night because it fell in the
middle
of the
week. You guys on a date night.
Yeah, so we went to West Reading. We went to a restaurant that Nell found, which turned out to be a really, really great restaurant. Not super high-end or anything, but just a nice restaurant. And but we were able to listen to the beginning of B-Ray's show, like the first 45 minutes or so. And then we listened to, it was about 45 minutes from home. So we listened to Peter on the way home. So
that's one show that I have to admit I was really skeptical about. Because I'm not a video guy at all.
Yeah.
At all. I hate video games. But when the concept came across, it's half of my brain was like, it might work. The other half is like, what the fuck are you thinking about? No, it's not going to work. But his knowledge of not just the video games, the soundtracks and the music that come with video games is mind-boggling.
It is.
And it makes that show work.
Yes.
Because you would not ever – don't ask me to do a show about video games and music because I'll just find out what Mario's song is and play it for an hour. But I have no idea. He does. He's so brilliant at it.
He would be an interesting one to get on the drum.
Oh, absolutely.
And have Ray sit in on.
Ray is
he's my son. He's 14 and video games is his domain.
He sits here this time. Well, there was one time he sat here and Deborah's son was here, Louie. Louie started talking to him and I just looked at Deborah and go, we can leave now because when we come back, they're gonna be in the same spot talking about the same thing.
That's what's in my head where it's okay, Kenny and I could set that show up. And we could just walk out of the room, drink, and Ray will
just
carry the show with him. It's
amazing his knowledge of it. And that's what sold me on the show. And he has a ton of listeners.
There is an audience for it. I mean, I do youth ministry, and the kids today, I mean, I'm still arguing with them over some of that stuff from 80 years ago. Or not 80 years ago.
80 years ago.
In the 80s, 8-bit music, and which is the But yeah, there's a huge audience, and it's not just the kids. I mean, it is even to some degree. I mean, I finally found out that Kenny apparently played a video game as a kid.
When I was Metroid. In the car business, I was a general manager of a car dealership in Jersey for a while. One of the best I've done it all.
You did
I've
a little
all.
Bit.
I'm a registered stockbroker too, believe it or not. I do got my Series 7 and 63.
I do know. I learned that this last trip.
In the car business, I used to.
Okay.
Get cars, put them in the showroom, and I will get the ugliest cars we had because you're not going to hide the ugly cars. They'll never get sold. So I used to clean them up, get the lime green Pintos or whatever we had and put them in the showroom. And people would ask me, and he goes, why are you putting these cars in the showroom like this? I go, because there's an ass for every seat. And I won't forget that. And the same thing goes for music. There's an audience for every show. And it works. And it works.
Yeah.
100%. There's a lot of stuff I've learned throughout the years, my stupid analogies and like God squeezes, he doesn't choke. That's one of my dad's ones. You know, if you find yourself in a hard time or the walls are closing in on you, you don't know what to do, don't worry about it. Breathe. God squeezes, he doesn't choke. That was my dad's line. Another one of my dad's line, and if you have kids, you can relate to this. Lazy people work twice. I used to have when I was growing up, I had a big fancy chair in my room. And every day after school, I would throw clothes on the chair. Never hung them up, just threw them on the chair. One day, I threw a pair of pants on the chair. All the clothes fell. The chair fell. My father just happened to walk past my room. And he stood there. He leaned against the door jamb, crossed his arms. And in Spanish, he says, lazy people work twice. And he walked away. I've never forgotten that. Ask Deborah. Anything I put on or put away, I put it away. I don't care if I'm as drunk and I got to crawl through this door. I will put it away. It's just the way it is. When my kids were growing up, I used to throw away clean pair of sneakers. Used to throw them away. Why are my sneakers in the garbage? Why? Because I saw them in the kitchen and there was no feet in them. If there's no feet in the shoes, that means they don't belong there. They go in the garbage. All that is from my dad.
Yeah, it's that on my daughter
all the time.
But shoes everywhere.
But lazy people work twice. I do it here. I can sit here now, throw something in the garbage can. If I don't make it, I say the same shit. Now I got to get up and I got to go throw it away. So a lot of my stupid sayings, and Deborah will tell you, that comes from my dad. I am my dad's kid. I can be a buffoon at times. Sometimes I can be brilliant. Sometimes I'm like, why did I even open my mouth? That happens a lot on Friday.
I think we all happens a lot on Friday mornings. A little bit that way.
Yeah.
Which is
we try. I try.
Show though.
I try.
The banter. Jeez. The banter is fun.
I know I kid around with her a lot, and I give her a lot of praise in what she does. But Kenny knows this is the truth. She's the most amazing woman I've ever met. The most amazing individual, let alone woman, individual I've ever met. Kind-hearted, yeah. Talks to everybody. I can be walking on the sidewalk with her, and suddenly I'm still talking to myself, and she's not next to me, and I turn around, she's talking to some homeless guy. That's how she is. That's the person she is, and yeah. And you think you're nuts at the time. You know, it's like, what the hell is she doing? You admire her for doing that.
Yeah.
And she talks to anybody. She takes the shirt off her back if she could. And I'm so grateful that I met her. Unfortunately, this late in my life, but I think if I would have met her 20 years ago, I would have screwed that one up too. But I'm glad I met her now, and
well,
I'm having a blast with what we're doing, man. I never got to meet people like yourselves if it wasn't for this, other people, and she's opened a lot of doors for us that she doesn't realize she has.
Well, if it wasn't for Debs, we would have never met you guys,
never,
honestly.
Never.
So it goes both ways for sure.
I know she's learned some me. I've learned a lot from her, and I know she's learned a little bit from me. Deborah's gotten to be really keen as far as business goes,
and now
that's
she can mix music.
That's pushing it, but she's very keen as far as business goes. She's grown a thick skin. Deborah was very. She will worry about what other people said. You just don't.
Yeah.
Don't. And one of my father's lines were always is look forward. Don't look to the side. Don't look back. If you look forward, you go to where you want to be. If you look to the side, all it's doing is slowing you down. And you never want to look back because you ain't going back there no more.
I kind of wish I would have met your
fucking
dad.
Prophet. He was the shit he would come up with. The stuff he would come up with. Even up to this day, I hear myself talking like him. I'm like, why? That makes no sense. But to me, it does. Because I know exactly where he comes from. But
no,
right. I don't want to be in the same room no more when Deborah talks business to people. I leave. Thank God I smoke. I just gave an excuse I'm smoking because that person is either going to, I'm either going to walk back in there and Deborah's going to have him on the floor in the chokehold, say, I'll do it, or she'll just walk out. Deborah will not stop until she gets a no. But she does it in her own style, in her own way, that's beneficial to everybody. But now she's gotten to the point where, like, okay, don't worry about them. Because that's what I've always told her. Don't worry about these people. Another one of my father's great lines. Kenny's heard this before. If you don't want to pay $5 now, you pay $50 later. These people in the beginning that didn't want to support us, now they're starting to come back. Now we're getting the phone calls. We're not hunting them no more. They're coming to us. And that's when me and Deborah now start playing a little hardball.
Yeah, everybody was kind of waiting it out to see what was going to happen here. What was with
these
guys,
Nell, with the 30-foot banner that we made, that we put here in downtown Pensacola before Ryan.
Yeah.
It's right behind a traffic light, and Nell called the traffic light karma. I'm like, what do you mean karma? And she goes, because you remember all those naysayers in the beginning when they stop at that traffic light and they're staring at that sign? Because that's the longest traffic light in Pensacola. You're there for a good two minutes. You're staring at a 30-foot banner that says Sandcastle Radio Presents. You know how much feedback we've gotten from that banner? And it hung there for 2 weeks.
And it's on Palafox and Main.
It's right in the middle.
Which is like also the busiest intersection in downtown Pensacola. Is it still up or has it
come down now?
Yeah, it came down last Monday. Yeah. It was up for 2 weeks, but that sign brought a lot of attention to us. A lot. Yeah. But people now are starting to come towards us, and I knew it was going to happen. It's just a matter of when it explodes on us, but it's going to explode on us. Now we're starting to get trickling effects. Now we're starting to get more those free patrons. We've gotten an abundance within the last week out of nowhere. I mean, a lot, a real lot. Mm-hmm. People starting to pay attention. All these naysayers who were sitting back waiting and watching, and that's now good. They're starting to, you know, they're like a little groundhog
people
now.
Are paying attention
to Connie
now.
Phil. They're starting to show their head out now.
Oh, my. Oh, this was fun. This was fun, Pete. I know Rob has an idea here. I'm going to let him throw it out there.
Yeah, Rob.
All right, so we're good with this. I texted Kenny while we were talking. But here's the idea. So you do your own house music stuff. You mix stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a radio station. And we'd love to kind of highlight that a bit. So would you be willing to send something that we'll play right here at the end as, you know, our voices are fading out and you hear Nell say, hey, thanks for listening, blah, blah, blah. And just something that is your styling and your taste in music that is you.
Well, like a 30-second thing or with some music?
Something like that, whatever. Yeah, whatever. So the little mix that you've done or that you do, something like that.
Something that is your flair, your touch of music.
I can send the beginning of my set today where I have our Sandcastle intro, then the other intro, and then it goes right into the music part.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I can do that. I can do that. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
And then we can highlight that way, you know, the people listening to this podcast can, you know, get a little sample right at the end. Now that we're done, after we're done talking, a little sample of what it is that you do and what it is
I don't
got
to play the
Saturday
rooster
house
song,
party.
Right? Yeah. With the air horn? Okay. Because that rooster song
don't
just
have to play
related.
The rooster
it's just for Thursday for you guys, for you.
Oh, no, it can't. That has to be for Thursday. That's it. The rooster lives on Thursdays. That's it.
I'll be more than happy as soon as I hang up here because I was going to start doing some music. I can do the first minute of my set today, but it has all the promos in it, and you guys get an idea of what I play. Well, Kenny knows.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, if it doesn't have to be like, wait, you don't have to send it like in, you know, now. This episode will come out next Monday. So not this Monday, but the following.
Yeah, but if I don't do it now, I'll forget.
Okay.
And,
well,
and just to let Rob
forget.
Know, what I play, even though it's house music, I identify to everybody as disco on steroid. That's basically what it is.
Hey, that works.
It's disco on steroids, and I've been doing that for 40 years. So I will send you guys a clip. I'll be more than happy to do it.
As you said,
more
there's an ask for every seat. So, hey.
That's you damn right there is.
There are still people out there who are listening to disco, listening to 80s rock, 60s rock, you know, whatever your
You'll
taste
be surprised how many closet musicians there are. A lot of people. A lot.
So, so with what you're going to be hearing when we play, you can catch Pete on Saturday night on Sandcastle Radio. So get the app, get Alexa, just go on sandcastleradio.com.org.net. And it is, so you're 9 p.m. Central or 8 p.m. Central?
8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Oh, that hour always whacks me out. I don't know why. It's only an hour. But so 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. For 2 hours, you can catch Pete do his Saturday night house party on Sandcastle Radio.
According to Deborah, that's the flagship show. I just think it's the comedy hour. But
I would agree with between that and The Secret Place. I mean, those are the two shows that launched the station, basically. So those were your two shows, and then you started the station. So they have to be the flagship shows.
Yeah, but but at the end of the day, we're nothing if not for the people around us. Trust me.
Well, inarguably, I mean, the station is built around your and Deborah's personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have something that's attracting the Kennys, the Nells, the B-Rays, the Hans. And you guys have been that. You guys have been that central point of, hey, this is what we're doing. This is our vision. Join us.
I've said it many times. Who the hell gave us a radio show?
You know, I know you guys we have to go, but when I was doing, when we were planning Rind, and I had a vision that I wanted it to be, since they were doing it live in front of people, I wanted it to be like a podcast type stuff. I tell people, has anybody ever watched Inside the Actor's Studio? Where it was just sitting on a stage with two chairs and a mic and you talk. I didn't want electronics in front of them. I didn't want them on the laptops or doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to showcase them. They were, you know, we got a stage. They were on a stage. There were two comfortable chairs, mics with the booms, and they just did their shows. And that to me was important because I needed people to see who they're listening to, but in a different environment, not behind a glass, not behind headphones and nothing. I took that endeavor on my half. I sat in the back. I did all the shows. That was part of what I was doing. But I wanted to showcase these guys because I knew the talent that we have. I know the individuals that we have that did our shows. I just wanted to make sure that everyone else saw it. And for that, I take pride in. I took a lot of pride in taking that picture that I had in my head and to come out with the streamers behind you guys, the stage and the chairs. And I was really proud of that. And to find out that Deborah, after she saw everything from behind, she goes, "You knocked it out of the park."
Yeah,
I couldn't picture it with the way you wanted it done. Now I can see it.
Yeah.
And then she looked at me. She goes, "Now it's your job forever. So don't ever ask me to do stuff like this. I'll do the decorations." But yeah, the showcase talent like him and Nell and everybody we had. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I hope
next time we do this, Rob, you can come down. And
Rob has to drive because he's afraid to get on an airplane.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny hanging out with you. The irony. But
hey, I ever come down, we got to have cigars and drinks.
Absolutely. Definitely cigars. And the other thing was when we were all in the hotel and we were all together that VIP party that first night.
Yeah, that was the cool part of Rind, how we were all staying in the same place. So, yeah, in the evening, we were all able to unwind together and enjoy some drinks and even some cigars. Nell and Pete smoked a cigar out on the hotel, had this little patio with like a fire pit and things like that. And so they sat out there, smoked cigars. That was the final night. That was Sunday night after it was all said and done. And we were all exhausted.
But me and Deborah were looking from afar that Thursday night after we came back from Radio Live, and to see everybody in one room together, and when we just see each other either on the phones or FaceTimes or a messenger, to see Dean Nicholson from England here, to see Mark Woodward, the poet from England here, and Kenny and Nell and everyone else that we had, it was so cool to see that. You know, we were like, me and Deborah, at the end of your show, you didn't notice the hug that me and Deborah gave each other?
At the end of the gospel show?
Yeah, at the end of your gospel show, right in front of that table.
Yeah.
I had tears coming down my eyes that we pulled it off. Mm. And so all the work that we put in. And to have these people, we had, what, 7-8 tables?
Yeah.
Of listeners and friends and family who were there supporting us.
Yeah.
It was worth it to me. It was worth every second of every heartache that we went through.
Yeah, Five Sisters was packed. People
packed.
Waiting outside to get in before the place opened.
But I was very proud of all you people. Cool. I still am. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no radio station in the world better than mine. And I'm going to get bigger and I'm going to get bigger and bigger.
I agree with that.
It's just the way it is. This is what I want to do. We either go big or go home. And my father did not come up with that one. That one.
No, is that one yours? That's not your father. Yeah, that one's yours.
That's not my dad. We either go big or go home.
All right. Well, I think we're gonna wrap it up here because
lazy people work twice. That's the
original. Pete's giving us that advice.
Tell that to your kid. Lazy people work twice. You're gonna remember me when she does something dumb, then when she could have just gone up and thrown in the garbage.
Don't worry, I'll probably use that today.
Oh, you will. If you have kids, you'll probably use it a couple times a day.
I'm sure. Pete, so thank you for taking an hour out of your day to sit down and talk. I know I had a blast.
Absolutely.
I did too, man. Anytime I get together with you, and now I met Rob,
yeah,
I'm here for you guys 120%, man, whatever you guys need. And that goes for me. That goes for Deborah too. You guys are awesome.
Awesome. Well, maybe we'll have to get Deborah on the Drunk Squirrel next.
She's on the list.
She's on the list. So we'll be reaching out to people individually. But we have big plans for this podcast, and ultimately it can't just be us because we have to have great guests like Pete to make things interesting for people to want to listen.
Stop.
not true.
Stop. Listen, you can go to the corner bus stop. Tell them you know me, and the guy's still going to ask you for $2 to get on a bus. Okay? I ain't nothing.
Okay.
I'm nothing.
Okay.
Except for the old lady, except for the little old lady who recognized Peruching at the supermarket here in the corner. She recognized my alter ego.
See, she thinks you're something. That's awesome. All right, Pete. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again for being
here.
Love you
guys. Rob, it was a pleasure to meet you, man. I hope I didn't talk your ears out. If I did, it's Kenny's fault.
It's good hearing your story. It's been good getting to know you. I mean, you have like myth status up here.
I have what?
Household. Myth status. Like you are in the legends of the places. And
you're you're a legend up here, Pete.
I do realize I'm just an asshole from Jersey, right?
I mean, I know that, but okay, you know,
now hold on.
Everybody else doesn't have to know that.
Pete, you say that. I started this podcast with an asshole from central Pennsylvania.
That's true.
Who started it with an asshole from western Pennsylvania. So we're all in this together.
Wow. Yeah. We're all just three Northeast assholes.
We're all a bunch of assholes. That room must smell.
That's right.
It did.
Oh, man.
You guys in the same room?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they stuck Kenny in the corner again. Oh, man.
Yeah, we're in the same room. Well, we always record in person. This is actually the first virtual guest we've done.
Yeah.
And it, no better person to start off our virtual guest with.
I got to do something
with
Kenny because I know he's got the same hat on, so I might as well.
Yeah. Yeah, turn it around, Pete. There it is.
You know, the 90s was like 30 years ago.
Deborah likes it. It hurts my forehead, though.
Hey, Pete, if Deborah likes it,
that's all that matters.
That's all you need to know. If Nell tells me she likes something, that's what I do.
Well, they are the smartest people in the world if they got to put up with our
bullshit.
No doubt about that. Listen, love you guys. Thank you. I'm going to send you that real quick because I'm going to start working on music anyway. So I'll just record that little beginning of it so you guys can get it.
Awesome. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Drunks World podcast. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to The Drunk Squirrel. No need to pay a tab. Just be sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and drop us a line, thedrunksquirrel82@gmail.com. Cheers.